Back here with you today. Again, I'm sorry Brian can't be here. It seems like every time I come, we miss each other. So maybe one day we can be together again. I want to read to you today from the prophet Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, verses 7 through 9. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved him. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. It was around this time of year, in between the holidays, that a woman walked into her bathroom at home, and as she did, she saw her husband weighing himself on the bathroom scale. And as he was weighing himself, he was sucking his stomach in. And the woman thought to herself, he thinks that will actually make him weigh less by sucking in his stomach. So sarcastically, she said to him, that's not going to help. And he looked right back up and said, sure it is, because it's the only way I can see the numbers. Hopefully none of us have ever experienced that as the result of the holidays, but I'm afraid many of us have. You see, the woman thought she knew what her husband was doing when, in fact, she was mistaken. In today's scripture, and actually any time that we read from the prophets, we think we know what the prophets are saying. And we too are mistaken. You see, we think that the prophecies and the obscure statements about the future are what they are talking about, but in fact, the prophets were giving witness to God's teaching in a particular day. Now, prophets were strange, often unpopular men who spoke about God's nature, reminded them of what God's law demanded, and told them, often quite bluntly, of how the future might be if the people of God ignored his teachings. They told people what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. And we often read from Isaiah as if the entire book was going to be about foretelling the coming of Christ, but actually, he was speaking also to give hope and to challenge the people of his time. Hope for what God could achieve working with them and challenging their constant temptation to forget their relationship with God. And while the words of Isaiah were written to help people in his day, we can still find some meaning or find ways to relate to them as well. Now, this morning's text comes from the end of the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, there's 66 chapters, and most people think that it was written by one author. But we know from biblical scholars this isn't the case. It was written by two or possibly three authors. I prefer the latter and believe that there were three, but we can debate that later. You see, the first section of the book is written by Isaiah of Jerusalem, the original Isaiah, if you will. And it was written during a time before many in Judah were taken into exile in Babylon. And the second part of the book, Deutero of Isaiah, was written by an author we know really nothing about. But it was written at the time they were in exile in Babylon. And then the third part of the book was written after they returned. Now, you see, it's important for us to understand that when the Babylonians conquered Judah, not all of the people were taken into exile. Some were left behind, and they lived their lives in what was left of the land. Many, however, were taken to Babylon. And these were mostly like the elite of the day. And during their time there, many learned to adapt to the new way of life, and they did rather well for themselves. They started their own businesses, they received an education, and they still held on to their Jewish faith. But then one day, Cyrus of Persia, defeated King Nebuchadnezzar and sent out an edict allowing all of those in exile who wanted to return to Jerusalem to do so. And so many chose to return home, and yet many were content and just stayed where they were. And it was during their time in exile that today's text comes from. Those who were in exile began to rebel against God and doubt their faith. However, Isaiah said to them, "Hey, remember all that God has done before? Remember how God has always been with you in good times and in bad?" But you know what they did? They refused to remember that God's presence was with them. Whether they were in Jerusalem or not, they just couldn't give in to that. And despite hearing all of this and being told this, the people did not want to listen, and they began to worship the gods of the new culture and to rebel against the God who gave them life. But you know, I guess we really don't need a history lesson of Israel or the book of Isaiah to understand and see how that scripture relates to us today. You see, we're all guilty of the same thing. Especially during this time of year, we too forget all of the wonderful things that God has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us in the future. Let's take this for example. Next Sunday, Christmas Eve, gather here at 7 o'clock for a Christmas Eve service. And everyone here will be excited about the presence of God made known in our lives through the gift of His Son, and the joy that we will experience in our relationship with them. Yes, being here for a short time, we'll pause for a moment to remember just how much God is working in our lives. But then somewhere after the service, maybe just outside the doors of the church, as we begin our journeys home, that feeling will begin to fade. The presence of God in the manger will get pushed aside for the presence under the tree. And the time we'll spend with family and eating and doing all the Christmas things. Yes, we will soon forget. But I wonder, as we do that, what are some of the things in the presents you all have asked for Christmas this year? Anyone? Anyone want to share what you've asked for? Anything in particular? Nobody? Nobody asked for anything at all this year. Wow. Oh, that's a good one. That's a church answer. Come on. No Xboxes, no PlayStations, no cars, toys, anything like that. Let's be honest. We've all asked for something, haven't we? Because that's what Christmas is all about. Asking for the presents and hoping someone heard us and we get what we asked for. But wait a minute, did you see what I just did there? In one moment, I was able to get us to leave the presence of God, wrapped in the manger, and turn instead to the unwrapped presence under our tree. And you know what? I think what a better time than right now, as we get closer to the culmination of the Advent season, can we take this time and make a conscious effort to unwrap the presence of God in our lives and share that gift and the joy it brings with others. Well, how do we do that? Well, I want to share with you one of my favorite stories. And it's a story that I often recall when I'm trying to discern how God is going to use me in my day-to-day life with the people I come in contact with, working with patients and families that are on hospice. And it's a story about a fella named Johnny the Bagger. And you see, Johnny works at a grocery store and one day went to a training event led by some national speaker named Barbara Glanz. And she was talking to 3,000 frontline grocery store workers, truck drivers, cashiers, stockers. And Barbara was speaking on how people can make a difference. She described how every interaction with someone is a chance to create a memory, to bring joy to them and to bless someone's life. And she talked about how important it was to look for these moments. And in this room where they were gathered, she placed on the walls all over the place, as she always does, posters with inspiring sayings. She told some stories and then she went home. But she left her phone number and she invited people at the conference to give her a call if they had any questions or wanted to talk more about something that she had said. Time went by and it was about a month later. And Barbara received a call from one of the people that was at the session that day, a 19-year-old bagger named Johnny. Now, Johnny proudly informed Barbara that he had Down syndrome, and then he went on to tell her story. He said, "Barbara, I liked what you talked about, but I didn't think I could do anything special for customers. After all, I'm just a bagger." And then he said, while he was in Christmas Eve service in church, he remembered how God gave us the greatest present ever, and he wanted to share that presence with others. And that's where he came up with this idea. His gift to share God's presence with others was this. He decided that every night when he came home from work, he would find a thought for the day, for his next shift. It would be something positive, some reminder of how good it was to be alive or how much people matter, or how many gifts we are surrounded by. And if he couldn't find one, he'd make one up. And so every night, his dad would help him enter the saying 6 times on a page on the computer. And then Johnny would print 50 pages. And he would take out a pair of scissors and carefully cut 300 copies and sign every one. And then when he would get to work, Johnny would put the stack of those sayings next to him while he worked. And each time he finished bagging groceries, he would put his saying on top of the bag. Then he would stop what he was doing, look the person straight in the eyes and say, "I've put a great saying in your bag. I hope it helps you have a good day. Thank you for coming." It was about a month later after this started that the manager of this grocery store called Barbara, the speaker, and he said, "You know, Barbara, you're not going to believe what's happened here. I was making my rounds, and when I got up to the cashier's, the line at Johnny's checkout was 3 times longer than anyone else's. It was all the way down to the frozen food aisle." Now, I got to stop right there, because some of you may not have ever witnessed grocery stores when we had actual people check us out, people bagging our groceries, and we didn't have to do it ourselves. But there was a time when that existed. So just kind of picture that in your mind, okay? It'd be like going to Kroger and someone checking you out and the line going all the way back to the meat department. So, something like that. But anyway, the manager got on the loudspeaker because he saw what was going on to get more checkout lines open. And he couldn't get any of the customers to move. They said, "You know what? That's okay. We'll wait. We want to be in Johnny's line." And one woman came up to the manager and grabbed his hand saying, "I used to shop in this store once a week or so. I used to dread coming in here. Now I come in every time I go by because I want to hear Johnny's thought for the day." You see, Johnny is doing more than filling bags with groceries. He's filling lives with joy. And you see, there's a reason Johnny's lines are 3 times longer than anyone else's. It's because he unwrapped the presence of God in his life and is sharing that gift with others. He realized that our souls need to be fed just as our bodies do. Bodies are fed by protein and carbs, but souls are fed by words. And what people need from us is not more information. They need words that will fill their souls. Of course, what makes the words on the paper mean so much is actually who they came from. Words alone can come from a fortune cookie, but when people get them from Johnny, they're reminded of the beauty of how one person, forgetting his own limitations, is seeking to make his life a blessing to someone else's. Whatever burdens Johnny carried makes his gift that much brighter. Do you know who the most important person in that grocery store is? Well, a few months had passed again. And the manager called Barbara back and he said, you know what? Johnny is transforming the whole store. He told her that when the floral department had a broken flower or unused corsage, they used to throw it away. But now they were going out into the aisles and finding an elderly woman or a little girl to pin it on her. The butchers starting putting ribbons on their cuts of meat when they would wrap them up for customers. The people who would make their shopping carts are even trying to get the wheels to actually work. Good luck. There is hope. And you see, all the people in the grocery store will be blessed because of Johnny. And I believe that if it can happen in a grocery store, it can happen anywhere. It can happen right here. You see, when we recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, and all that He has done for us, and the great favor He has shown us according to His mercy and to His steadfast love. You see, when we understand that, we too can rejoice, knowing that we are God's children, and we can unwrap the presence of God in our lives, sharing that joy in the same way Johnny did, sharing the presence of Christ with all those we come in contact with. And just as God has done, we can lift them up and carry them. If lives can be changed, like I said, at a grocery store, they can be changed right here at Robertsville too. Next Monday, or you know what, why even wait? Why not right now? I pray that each of you, instead of thinking about the unwrapped presents under the tree, find a way to unwrap the presence of Christ and share the joy that it brings with others. Amen.